The Orioles and Yankees are the first teams to 70 wins, while Aaron Judge is one homer away from a milestone. This is First Pitch. Yes, welcome on into First Pitch for Monday, August 12th, 2024. I'm Lindsey Crosby, joined as always by Christian Rao, managing editor of InsideTheCardinals.com. And what a weekend of ball. Just lots of great games, Christian. It really just tons. We struggled to get it down to just 30 minutes for the show. But I think the biggest holistic takeaway from the whole weekend is the Orioles and the Yankees are now both at 70 wins. Going into the season, did you have both of these teams as the first teams to 70 wins?
I didn't have them both, no. I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of the American League East teams because of what we've seen just the past seasons. And honestly, what we saw with Baltimore last year. But I did not see them both being at 70, surging in the middle of August, Lindsey. No way.
Yeah, and there's a couple interesting little milestones going on with this right now. So Aaron Judge, 299 career home runs. So one away from 300. He's played 952 career games. So it's just over one every three games he gets a homer in his career so far. Sarah Langs of MLB.com, the great Sarah Langs, as she does, had a great stat on this. The record for fewest career games to get 300 home runs, 1,087 by Ralph Kiner. The order here, Alex Rodriguez is fourth with 1,117. Juan Gonzalez, Ryan Howard, Ralph Kiner, 1,087. Aaron Judge is at 952. Is it at the point where Aaron Judge could go down as one of the best power hitters in baseball history if everything breaks right?
I think so. I think that you'll have that conversation, I think, for a lifetime, even if he runs into injuries. But I think if he stays healthy and stays the course, I think that we will be seeing one of the greatest hitters of all time. I think we are seeing that right now. I think that even at his peak, you know, if you talk about Aaron Judge at his peak, it's one of the best that you have ever seen, period. But right, what he's doing it at a pace is just really impressive. 299 already at only just a shy over 950 games is really crazy. And he's doing it in a season this year where we've questioned the baseballs, Lindsey. He's hitting 42 home runs in a year where baseballs have been, quite honestly, soft. That we've heard multiple players talk about it. We've talked about it. We've questioned it multiple times, and he's not seeming to have a problem with it. So, and what I love about it is that he's doing it on a consistent basis year in and year out in the last 2-3 years. And it's just really impressive to see.
Yeah. Flip side of Yankees and Orioles is Orioles now have Jackson Holliday back. First 10 games, he's got four home runs, slugging of 629. We're going to get to him in just a minute. We've got a thing for him down in Quick Pitch, fun little segment we're gonna bring out for the first time, Date Mary DFA. But I think here's the question. They're obviously tied in the American League East. Do the Yankees have enough offense to hold off the Baltimore Orioles and win the division?
I've been leaning towards Baltimore for these last couple weeks. I know this has been one of the topics we've discussed on multiple episodes, and I think it's going to be a topic that we continue to talk about as we get close to the playoffs. I think our topic list is going to start getting very similar because of the teams that are racing for October. But if you have Aaron Judge doing what he's doing, Juan Soto stepping up, and then Giancarlo Stanton coming back and healthy, he just got his, I think, 20th home run of the season. If you have those three start tearing it up, I think it's really hard to say that they can't be the top team in the American League or the American League East period. The only thing that I am concerned about with this hitting crew right now, this entire lineup, is Anthony Volpe. For what we've seen from him over the past couple games has been pretty rough. It's looked like he's kind of lost out there. Last seven games, hitting just I think 0.069 average, 103 slug. So obviously a lot of issues going on, 2-for-29 in his last 30 at bats, if you will. So there's some issues that need to be fixed with Volpe. Obviously his defense is stellar, so you want to keep him out there. But if that's your only problem, I think you're doing okay. I think I would rather have Stanton step up offensively than Volpe, because that's something that you've had a concern in the past. And we've seen over the past few years that Giancarlo Stanton, if he is hot in the playoffs, the Yankees are really hard to beat, Lindsay. So if Murderer's Row, if you will, if that the what they're trying to reincarnate, if they are if they are on par with Soto, Stanton, Judge, then I think that the Yankees are going to take this takeaway. And that's the first time that I've said that this year, because I've been leaning towards Baltimore. But it's just really hard to go against this Yankees offense when you have all three of those power bats doing what they're doing.
Yeah, and Baltimore losing Grayson Rodriguez for a while to that last straight, I do think is significant. When you look at the offense, like I think, and the guy we didn't even mention, the new acquisition, Jazz Chisholm, 13 games, he leads the Yankees in homers. He's got 7 to Judge's 5. You're batting .296 with the 1.49 OPS. Now, Judge is like .1390 OPS. Judge has destroyed him in OPS because Judge has a .444 average and an .800 slug. But I think the point is, like, you've got offensive pieces, right? Austin Wells, the last, what is it, the last 15 days, he's batting like .318. I mean, he's actually outproducing from a batting average perspective. He's outproducing Juan Soto right now. Like, Juan Soto is only a .269 average over the last 15 days. But no, it's just, I feel like you have the pieces as long as you can, if Judge can keep doing what he's doing. Like you said, you've got Stanton, you've got Soto, Jazz is hot right now. If Judge can keep doing what he's doing and one or two guys can get hot, you know, and consistently can one or two other guys can be hot in that lineup, I definitely think you can, they have enough offense here to hold off Baltimore, given Baltimore's offensive or not offensive pitching issues and questions behind Corbin Burns because of not having Grayson Rodriguez and things like that. So definitely, definitely a likely scenario to me if nothing changes from right now. Also, what feels like a kind of inevitable scenario, the Houston Astros swept the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. And like, we wrote this team off earlier in the year, and then you turn and you look, and it's like, yep, the Astros are tied with the Mariners on top of the division, leading the wild card by 2.5 games. Is this inevitable? Is the Astros winning the West inevitable, or does Seattle have a chance to catch them and make it an actual race down the stretch?
I think they have a chance. I think we saw it just on Sunday Night Baseball that, you know, even with some of their players not doing as good as they want to, some of their star players, they're still finding ways to win in the mind of Seattle. So I think they have a chance, but inevitable is probably a good word to use, because what we've seen over the past almost decade from this Houston Astros team, they're finding ways to win. And even though this was probably their worst start in that decade span, I think it was actually one of their worst starts in franchise history, if I remember correctly, they're talking about something the beginning like that of the season, they still have found the way to get back and be in the division lead before we hit September. So inevitable is a really good word. I would not be surprised whatsoever if we see them winning division. I would not be surprised to see them in the ALCS once again. But I do think that this is going to be more of a competition that we've seen in seasons past, even with Texas out of the conversation, because in the last couple seasons, it's been more of a three-way race. But I think we're going to see a pretty competitive 1-2 punch between the Mariners and the Astros going all the way until the end of the season. But if you had to go ahead and put, you know, let me know right now who was going to win the AL West, I'm going to pick the Houston Astros because they're hot right now. They're surging. Their pitching still isn't back. Justin Verlander will be a rehab start. Yeah, he had a rehab start with the Space Cowboys, which I love that name, by the way. I think that's such one of the coolest minor league
things. The logos are great, too. Yeah, they really are. All of the merch is so well done.
Awesome. But he's coming back soon. You got to expect him to be at least help out. I know that he's older, but he's still Justin Verlander. Let's be honest, right? So I'm going to say Houston wins this division when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think Seattle's offense could make it interesting. You saw the night Cal Raleigh had last night on Thursday Night Baseball. Randy Rosarena, since he got traded over there, batting .311 with a .945 OPS. Obviously, Julio Rodriguez has the potential to get hot and carry a team. He didn't do too hot in his return last night. We'll get to that later in quick pitch. But it feels like See, if everything breaks right for Seattle, they can make it interesting. But yeah, I'm with you. If I'm having to put money down right now, it's the Houston Astros. I just don't feel comfortable going and saying anybody else is going to catch Houston.
Yeah.
Simply because Houston's done this, right? They've done this year in and year out. They've got pieces coming back, as like you said, Verlander. And some point in time, theoretically, eventually, Kyle Tucker, we don't know anything about when we're going to ever see him again. But it's just, this is interesting to me. This has the potential to be interesting to me down the stretch. If Seattle can step up, I'm just a little hesitant that they're going to be able to. A team that has stepped up, I feel like, that is trying to make a push is the San Francisco Giants. 7-3 in their last 10 games. And they've got a couple different guys who are surging right now. Matt Chapman, last 15 days, batting .340 with four homers. Michael Conforto, batting .341. And then Tyler Fitzgerald is the greatest hitter in baseball history based on this small sample size that he's had. In his first 165 career at-bats, he leads baseball with 52 hits. He's got 12 homers, 12 stolen bases, and a .994 OPS. So I think the question is this. Right now, your wild card is Arizona, San Diego. They're both in the wild card right now. Is there any possibility that the Giants can get past one of those two teams to take a wild card spot? Because they're in fourth place in the West right now, and they're a game and a half out of the wild card, where both the Diamondbacks and the Padres have a four-game lead in the wild card. Is there any chance San Francisco can get into that mix?
In the National League, 5.5 games seems like a lot, especially because of how log-jammed the entire league is right now. And still, a couple teams have fell out, but a couple teams are still log-jammed between that National League wildcard race. 5.5 games seems a lot when you're trying to catch up to Arizona and San Diego. However, Lindsay, there is a real possible chance that the entire National League wildcard could be from the National League West. There is an entire chance that could happen. Because as you mentioned, they're only a game and a half out. If Arizona and San Diego continue to hold on, which they've been really good lately, and then San Francisco continues to hold on, which they've done really good. And correct me if I'm wrong, they're all like, you know, 8-2 in their last games or something like that. They're doing really well. I think San Francisco 7-3, but Arizona and San Diego.
Arizona, San Diego, 8-2. Yeah.
So that's crazy. So they're all surging at the exact same time. Dodgers are starting to figure it out again, too. So I don't know if any of those teams will start to catch them. We'll see. But in the eyes of the original question you asked, can San Francisco catch either San Diego or Arizona? The way that San Francisco's playing, you got to say yes. I think that's the case. I think they're doing it very quietly, not only because they're a West Coast team and not many people are awake and watching those games, but when you look at those standings all season long, you know, I was staring at those National League standings for a very long time. And I'm sure you are as a Braves fan too, but with being a Cardinals, you look at it, not many of those, for a very long time, the Giants weren't sitting in one of those races. They're sneaking up there, and I think that's really impressive. I'm impressed by Matt Chapman. I did not think that he was going to have the season that he was going to have. They're already talking about maybe doing contract extensions with him. I know he has a player option for 2025, but they're already talking extensions. I find that interesting. I find it very interesting that they did not sell at the deadline like we thought was going to happen with Chapman and Snell, and it's looking like it's working out because they are right in contention. So I think they can catch one of the teams. If I think it was any of the teams that are going to catch out of the two, I think they can catch Arizona because Arizona's running into some injury issues, but we'll see what's happening.
I was about to say, that's where I'm going as well, is if they do it, it's going to be because of Arizona's injuries. Gabriel Moreno on the IL, Christian Walker on the IL. Ketel Marte left Saturday's game, I believe it was with a knee or an ankle issue. Sat out Sunday. He said he's going to play on Monday versus Colorado. And Ketel Marte has arguably been one of the more impressive hitters in baseball this season. Right now, 299, 370, 563 with 30 home runs. If Ketel Marte continues to be that Ketel Marte. I think that Arizona has a chance, even despite the injuries, has a chance at holding off San Francisco. If he comes back and is not the same player down the stretch because of lingering effects of that injury, I think that's where you run into the issues and you have to deal with San Francisco maybe jumping them. At the same time, San Francisco's remaining schedule is one of the 10 hardest in baseball. They've only got three series that are against really bad teams. Three against the White Sox, three against the Marlins, two against the A's. But they play Arizona six times, San Diego six times. They play Milwaukee six times. They play the Orioles three times. They play Kansas City three times. Like, they've got some tough matchups here. And so they're going to need some help. But I absolutely think the way that they're playing, they could conceivably make the postseason. And I think if they do, it's going to be at the expense of Arizona, who's going to have to drop off a bit between their injuries and just a lack of impact depth. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be really interesting to watch. The Giants start a series this week at home against the Atlanta Braves. Game one. Listen to this matchup. Blake Snell, last year's Cy Young winner in the National League, versus Chris Sale, this year's favorite for Cy Young in the National League. So what a great matchup on Monday night. Incredibly late. I think it's like an 8:45 or a 9:45 first pitch Eastern time. But it's going to be,
you got to take a nap. If you're on the East Coast, then take a nap. Make sure you're staying up for that one, because that's must watch TV. You're seeing two Cy Youngs going at it. I mean, Blake Snell's just coming off of a no hitter. Two games ago.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to love that. Yeah. I'll be tuning in for sure.
That's going to be fun. Okay. Quick pitch. Couple quick topics here. First one, a big promotion, a trio of Red Sox top prospects all go to AAA Worcester. Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, Marcelo Meyer. So the law firm here of Meyer, Anthony, and Teal gets moved up to AAA. The odds that we see any of these players down the stretch for Boston?
I want to say no. I think there is a possibility, but I want to say no. I want them to keep them in AAA for the rest of the season, because they've already made quite a big jump so far this year. I think that all three of these just need to be in the plan for 2025. Now, do we see one? Possibly. If it does happen, great. Maybe make some adjustments, get a cup of coffee. But if I'm the Red Sox, I want to keep those guys all together in AAA, let them get as much AAA time as they can, and get them prepared for spring training, and have all three of them compete for a spot, for an opening day roster spot, because I think all three of them could easily be on the Red Sox next season. I'm really interested for Kyle Teal, because he was just drafted last season. I know obviously he had a great college career in Virginia, but he makes his way up to AAA already. Only 22 years old, catcher, which is something that they could absolutely use with him and Connor Wong. I think that'd be a great 1-2 punch. Who knows what happens with Danny Jansen moving forward. So I like the Kyle Teal pickup. Obviously, the other two are fantastic too, Lindsay.
Yeah, I think if you would see one, I think possibly Marcelo Meyer, given how much struggles they've had at second base. But at the same time, I know he dealt with a little bit of injury, and so I don't think they want to rush him. I think I'm with you. It's probably 25 before you see these guys. But there's a easy path to all three of these dudes being in the lineup next season, and I imagine spring training is going to be quite interesting for them. Okay, I teased this earlier. Date Mary DFA. We're going to talk about the three Jacksons. Jackson Churio, Jackson Merrill, and Jackson Holiday. All right. Give me your date Mary DFA for the three Jacksons.
Well, we're talking about the Jackson three here, but it's not as easy as 1-2-3 ABC as that band of the 60s used to talk about. But I don't think there's a wrong or a right answer for this one. Okay. So I apologize if you get upset with me on this one, but I'm going to go on personal favorites on this. This is just how I got to go on this one. So I'm taking Jackson Merrill. Mary, I'm taking Jackson Holiday, and I'm DFA and Jackson Churio. Reasons behind it.
Okay.
I love Jackson Merrill. I thought what he transitioned to from shortstop to center field and then became an all-star in year one is super impressive. I've loved what he's done with the bat speed. I think he's fantastic. Jackson Holiday, I got to watch him in Norfolk last year. I was really excited to see what he did. So he's just a personal favorite of mine. And Jackson Churio is fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but someone's got to be left out.
I think I've got date Jackson Churio, marry Jackson Holiday, DFA Jackson Merrill. Completely I agree. Jackson, yeah, Jackson Merrill has been one of the more impressive rookies, and I think he would be not a shoe-in, but he'd be really high up there in the All-Star, in the Rookie of the Year voting, if not for Paul Skeens. But if I think about overall impact, Jackson Churio is finally starting to turn around. He's starting to get hot, had his first multi-homer game last week. And I think immediate impact right now, he's the one that's acclimated to the majors the best. Jackson Holiday, we feel like he has the highest possible ceiling. Obviously, while he's hot right now in this first call-up, he's still getting his feet wet underneath him at the major league level. And Jackson Merrill, to me, is a really good all-around baseball player. The defense is good. The hit tool is good. I don't necessarily think any of those things are a carrying tool. And in fantasy baseball, I think that he's one of those, he's solid. He doesn't win you a league. And in fantasy baseball, you need that impact. I feel like Churio getting hot could win you a league. I feel like Holiday at his prime could win you a league. I don't quite think that Jackson Merrill's at the same level as far as overall ceiling. But like you said, this is a very hard question because you can take any of these guys and any of these three. Give us, down in the comments, give us your order for date, marry, DFA of Jackson Churio, Jackson Merrill, and Jackson Holiday.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, you can't be wrong or right in this one. And I'm sure we're gonna get some comments from this one, especially from our Brewers fans in the Discord, how they're upset with me, I'm sure. So we'll see.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. okay, so we mentioned it earlier. Julio Rodriguez comes back last night for Sunday Night Baseball. He DHs 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. Given the struggles he had prior to the injury, just not living up to what we know he can do. Was it right to bring him back right away without a rehab outing?
Yeah, that's an interesting reason why they did that, right? And it doesn't look like they were in a huge need to bring him back right away, too. They're still winning ball games. Victor Robles is doing really good. Randy Arozarena is a trade acquisition they have. So it's not like they were in a great need for bringing him back right away. However, they felt that was the need, and you know, going 0-for-5 at 5 strikeouts without a rehab assignment, that does kind of seems par for the course, doesn't it? So I'm interested to see how he does to start the week off in the series. Honestly, give him this whole full week. If we're going back and we're on Friday's episode, getting ready for the weekend, Lindsay, and he's still struggling, like talking to like maybe only finding 1 or 2 hits in the last 20 at bats, then I think All right, then I think, yeah, they called him up way too early, or they brought him back way too early, I should say, and they should have gave him a rehab start. It's too late now. They're obviously not going to give him a rehab start now. He's back. Hopefully he can get it going again because they need his production if they're going to keep up with Houston because, as you mentioned, the inevitable is here, the Houston Astros.
Yeah, it's just you can't afford for him to not be able to figure it out right away. And so I kind of question, like, apparently they had targeted Sunday Night Baseball. He specifically had said, I want to be back for Sunday Night Baseball. I kind of wonder, sending him out for a couple rehab games before that feels like it would have been smarter, you know, let him go to Modesto or something, have him play with the Nuts, have him do something, you know, Tacoma maybe.
It was an iconic game for Seattle. You know, it was the first time Sunday Night Baseball came back to T-Mobile Park. It was Safeco back then, 20 years. So it was a huge, you know, iconic game for Seattle.
Which honestly is absurd that it took 20 years.
100%. Yeah. It's Sunday Night Baseball. It's not like it's the Super Bowl or something, right? Or the All-Star game. So no, I completely agree. But maybe that's the reason why they pushed him to come back. If that's the case though, I don't think that's good baseball tactics. I mean, cause it's just Sunday Night Baseball. But it is a big deal for the city of Seattle getting that back. So maybe that's the reason, but hopefully that doesn't bite them moving down the stretch.
Okay. 3 big series beginning on Monday with some really interesting pitching matchups. And I kind of want to hear from you which one of these you think matters the most in the long run. We already mentioned Braves versus Giants, Chris Sale versus Blake Snell. You've also got Dodgers at Brewers, Clayton Kershaw versus Freddie Peralta. And you've got Royals at Twins, Brady Singer versus Pablo Lopez. With it, the end of the season, which one of these series do we look back and say, okay, that was the biggest of the three series when the season is said and done?
I'm going to rank them real quick. I'm going to say at the bottom, I'm going to say the Dodgers, Milwaukee, even though they're both leading the division. I think we'll both see in the playoffs, so they're not going to be that big of a deal. Then I'm going to go Atlanta, San Francisco, because I think both of those are battling for a wild card spot. However, you have to pick number one, Kansas City, Minnesota, because they are battling for the division lead in the AL Central. There is a high possibility that maybe only one, possibly two of those teams between those two and the Cleveland Guardians make the playoffs. And you know, Pablo Lopez hasn't been the best pitcher all season long. So, you know, trying to get him back on par would be very big to do. So, and Brady Singer hasn't been their best pitcher. They've had other good pitchers, you know, Lugo, Waka, Reagans have done well, but even Singer hasn't been their best. So getting both of them on par would be big. So I think the Royals in Minnesota is probably the series start the week that you should be watching if you're not watching any other baseball this week, is that series right there.
I've got the exact same opinion on the rankings for the three. Yeah, Twins, Royals. Okay, the Guardians, on them for a second. 3-7 in their last 10. They're in a little bit of free fall right now. They've got some rotation questions. And so the division, for the first time in a little while, looks like it could be up for grabs. Twins are 3.5 games back. Royals are 4 games back. Both teams, as of now, are solidly in the wild card, but we've kind of discussed before. We don't necessarily know if the American League is going to, like, the loser of Orioles Yankees will have one wild card spot. We think Boston could contend for a wild card spot. Seattle, if they don't catch Houston, could contend for a wild card spot. You're probably not getting more than one additional playoff team out of the Central, like you mentioned. And so Twins Royals to me is a big deal. I've personally had questions about, can the Twins keep it up? And can they maintain their pace? They're 6-4 in their last 10 games, but they've lost 2 straight. And can they get back on the right side of the win-loss ledger here? I mentioned, I think it was last week, how the Royals had a plus 96 run differential, how they had done really well. They've scored 567 runs this year. The Twins have scored 566. The issue has been some of the pitching. You've seen underperformance, like you said, Pablo Lopez was dreadful earlier in the year. They have a chance right now to make it happen and to be a little bit better as far as preventing runs. My question is Joe Ryan. A grade 2 strain is going to be out indefinitely. I don't know if he makes it back in time to make an impact down the stretch. So losing a good pitcher in Joe Ryan, you know, ERA under 4, can they maintain their spot in the wild card and ahead of the Royals? I think this series will go a long way towards us figuring that out.
100% agree. I think this is much watch TV. And if you don't want to stay up for the Cy Young matchup on Monday for the West Coast, check out the Central Baseball. Central Baseball doesn't get paid attention to enough anyway, so give yourself a chance. This is a good one to pay attention to.
This has been First Pitch for Monday, August 12th. If you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor, subscribe to the channel. Leave us a comment. It really does mean a ton. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice. Helps people find the show. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.